If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, the Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving, 2013 edition. Duke Brooks here. Sorry, a little bit late getting on the air tonight. I guess really it's none of your concern why that is. But the chat room is open, and I'm very glad that you are listening either in an altered state from some other time. You know, it might be January 23rd, 2017 when you're listening. Now, I don't know. I just don't know. That, I was about to say, that's the beauty of podcasting. I'm not really sure. You know, I've been a radio guy my whole life, and, I kind of have a tough time sort of wrapping my head around all of the different features and factors and the way things work on the internet and all that kind of stuff. I'm not one of these 15-year-old kids today that when I was born, I already knew how to write lines of code. Not really sure if that's something, it can't be something in the water. Maybe it is something in the water. Because if you remember, at about the same time that computers began getting into the mainstream, they began selling bottled water in stores. And Coca-Cola had a product called Dasani. I don't even know if they still have it, but they were trying to brand it on TV commercials. And here's this lady sitting at a desk. She's an executive, or at least you're supposed to think that's what she is. And she's staring out the window of her office, and I think it's in some concrete canyon in some nameless, nondescribed city somewhere. And at that moment, her young male assistant comes in and says, are you okay or something? And she says, oh, I just took a little mini vacation. She looks out the window, and she sees the beach and palm trees and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And then she says to him, could you get me another Dasani? It's a bottle of water, and they're calling it by a trade name? I mean, if it was Coke or Pepsi or RC, Royal Crown, does anybody remember that? Does anybody, you know, when I was young, and I grew up in Manhattan. I grew up in New York City. And the streets were getting mean. You know, they were getting mean when I was a kid growing up there. Not quite as mean as they were later on, which is why my parents said, you know, we have to move. In any event, when I would come to Baltimore, my cousins, the same ones I'm going to have Thanksgiving with tomorrow, 50 years later, it's unbelievable. I guess some people just never grow up, but they would have Royal Crown, RC. I thought it was fine. You know, I could see a TV commercial saying, could you get me an RC? But I can't see getting a bottle of water and calling it by its trade name, Dasani. We are about 7 minutes into the first hour. Little bit of a delay getting on the air. Sorry about that. It wasn't Blog Talk's fault. It was not their fault. I think this is the first time in human history that something has gone wrong on this, and it was not BTR's doing, but I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number. All right, here is the deal. I have good news, and I have maybe news that is not so good. The good news actually is great. I've got great news. I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico. I don't even have to see my girlfriend Linda rolling her eyeballs. But I've been using that line successfully now since about 2004 or something. And frankly, hon, I just don't see any I don't see any reason to quit. You know, I just don't. It's kind of like cigarettes, you know? Anyway, the good news, I suppose, well, it's depending upon how you look at it, this is very, very interesting. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I take Thanksgiving seriously. When I was working at a radio station here in this southern Delaware market, I had to work on Thanksgiving. For some reason, they always kind of they messed up the company dinner or something. You know, it was just bizarre. And I always had to work on Thanksgiving. Angel Clark and her husband Dave, David and the Angel, used to bring over Thanksgiving dinner for me. Linda and I would go get Thanksgiving dinner, and then we would have to hustle back to the radio. So it was very interesting. But I believe in maintaining a Thanksgiving tradition, a tradition. Look, I believe that order and tradition should prevail. That's just the way I am. Sorry. Really don't care if I've offended anybody. Never did. Never will. But in any event, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We've got a very, very motivated new guy. I say new. He's been with us for about 2 or 3 weeks, 2 weeks now. It'll be 3 tomorrow, whose name is Matthew Opalisky. Matthew is a constitutional scholar. He has, he is not an associate justice on some federal court somewhere that hears nothing but constitutional. No. Matthew is just a hardworking guy, very bright guy, very articulate guy, a good Republican, and he has been studying the Constitution for several years. And Matthew's program is on our network on Thursday nights. It is called the Liberty and Constitution Community. 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, 2 hours. And frankly, you know, when people start talking about things in the Constitution as if they think they know what they're talking about, well, the Commerce Clause, the General Welfare Clause, frankly, Matthew understands those things, and he can pretty much take apart the inane, stupid, and unbelievably uninformed arguments of the leftists who believe that the number one obligation and duty of the U.S. government is to do absolutely anything that it wants to absolutely anybody it wants to. And anyway, Matthew's program would be tomorrow night, but it is Thanksgiving, and I guess I really just think that people ought to spend time with their families on Thanksgiving. Linda and I are going to Baltimore. We are not shopping anywhere. I think that there are some convenience stores that are going to be open. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that there are. I know something else for a fact, too, and that is that our small company, conservativenationmedia.com, is growing, no question. And neither Michael Smith, my business partner, nor I could come up with a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Uncle Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing brings his engineer's insight. He's an engineer. And his love of America to American by Design, Sunday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we are making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, right here, the place where America always wins, the place where American traditions mean something, okay? Thanksgiving is an American tradition. It doesn't go back to 1620. It goes back to 1864. There have always been harvest feasts in the country. There is a fantastic book by a guy named Nathaniel Philbrick called Mayflower. And this is an amazingly detailed history of the pilgrims. It starts, like all good histories, it starts before they left England. They went to Holland. The Dutch kicked them out. Then I think they came back to England, and the Brits were like, look, we told you before, get out of here. All right? Boy, I wish the Brits had the same kind of backbone now that they did then and were able to say to a hostile religious group in their country, all y'all have to leave, you know? Did you hear about the country of Angola? Did you hear about them? They are tearing down mosques in their country, and they're saying no more can be built here. The office of the Ministry of Religious Ministry has not approved Mohammedanism. No more mosques. You know what? I don't know about you, but I've got a great idea. Why don't we set up a conservativenationmedia.com contest, and we can all go live in Angola, and we won't be bothered by the Mohammedans there. But I digress. In any event, they, you know, the pilgrims, they left Plymouth, England, with two ships, one called the Mayflower, which everybody knows about, and the other one was called the Speedwell. And the Speedwell did not make it to America. The Speedwell suffered some structural failure where the mast meets with the keel of the ship. The mainmast, I think, got loose or it broke or something. But anyway, the Speedwell turned back to England. I don't know if anybody really knows what happened to the pilgrims that were on the Speedwell, but the ones that made it to America landed on what is now known as Cape Cod, near a location that is now known, I believe, as Truro Beach or Provincetown or something. But, you know, anyway, things didn't work out there. The Indians were not all that friendly. You know, the left has all these mythological ideas about the Indians were all so peaceful, and then the horrible white Europeans came and they slaughtered them by the millions and all that kind of shit. It's just not true. You know, the only thing the Indians did on this continent for tens of thousands of years was make war on each other. That's it. Anyway, we are about 16 minutes after the hour. We are going to have, well, we've got some folks in the chat room, which is a good thing. Take a quick break. Some of your calls coming up and more about Thanksgiving and the other things that are going on today and in the not-too-distant future here at conservativenationmedia.com. Happy Thanksgiving. Stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Now you know how nice it seems.
Welcome back to Radio Free Delmarva on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Excuse me while I finish eating my wonderful dinner. So many traditions surround Thanksgiving, and a huge breakfast on Thanksgiving Day has always been one of them for me. Man, there is nothing like Eggs Benedict on Thanksgiving morning. Kevin Wade, I hope you're listening. We're not having Eggs B tomorrow morning. We're going to have roast beef hash, eggs, English muffins, OJ. And then Linda and I are going. Anyway, we were talking about the that was the Moody Blues, incidentally, that little piece of bumper music that you just heard. The Moody Blues from the album, not A Question of Balance, but On the Threshold of a Dream. I once met, you know, whenever I hear them, I think that they're one of the best bands of all time. Whenever I hear them, I am reminded of the time. And I'll get back to the Mayflower and the Pilgrims in a moment. I will. I promise. 718-305-7176, incidentally, is the number here at Radio Free America. But I'm always reminded of the time that I met them. I met the Moody Blues. I'll tell you what the deal was. This was August 9th, 1991. I remember the date. I will tell you exactly why. I had a fantastic gig at the time. I was flying the traffic helicopter at a radio station called Mix 106.5 in Baltimore. And it is a that was a gig that I had wanted since I was 12. And it took me a while, but I actually, you know, no one, I can't imagine any, I don't know if I've ever met anybody that has had since childhood a more narrowly defined career goal than I did, let alone actually having completed it. And for 4 years, four wonderful years, I flew the chopper on that station. It was wonderful. All right. So anyway, the station said, all right, we are one of the sponsors of the concert of the Moody Blues at the Meriwether Post Pavilion, which is in Columbia, Maryland, which is this city. It's contrived, incidentally. It was set up, excuse me, by this guy named Rouse. Jim Rouse invented Columbia, Maryland, designed it, built it. And they had this beautiful outdoor concert venue called the Merriweather Post Pavilion. And the Moody Blues were coming that night. And the station needed someone to represent the station and to take our concert winners to the concert. And there were these two elderly ladies, and literally they were both librarians, and they were big Moody Blues fans. And all right, so we went to the concert. The reason I remember the date is not that the Moody Blues concert was so etched in my memory or anything. I've probably been to a dozen rock concerts in my life, and frankly, other than that one, I can't remember the dates of any of them. But when I woke up that morning, which would have been at about 10 after 5, 5 o'clock, somewhere around there, get ready to go to the airport, fire up the beast, crank and yank, as they say. God, I used to love my ship. 2645 Whiskey. What a great helicopter that Robinson R-22 was. Turned on the CNN first thing in the morning, and what was the first thing that I saw? It was a shot of Russian tanks on Red Square, and this was the abortive coup against Boris Yeltsin by former old line communists that wanted to take back Russia and reform the Soviet Union. These were guys, you know, it's not that they believed in communism that much. They just liked having power, and they really liked the idea that they didn't have to answer to anybody in the election booth. That's what they're all about. Does that sound familiar to you? 718-305-7176. Anyway, I woke up that morning, and, you know, there were these Russian tanks, you know, T-34s or whatever they were, on Red Square, and they were approaching the new Russian Parliament building, which they had optimistically named the White House. It didn't look anything like the White House. It was like a 18-story building or something. And your shots, the tanks are firing at the... Apparently what happened was Boris Yeltsin, who I think until recently had been the mayor of... I think he was the mayor of Moscow at the time. Boris Yeltsin came out, and he had a megaphone or something, and he climbed up on one of the tanks, and he basically convinced the army not to go along with this coup. Later, that the coup was put down within 12 hours. It was like a military coup d'etat. And it was put down within several hours. And the next thing we knew, order had been restored and everything. But there were the talking heads on CNN, and I remember the very first thing that I heard when I woke up that morning was one of them, and I forget who it was. I think it was might have been one of the Kalb brothers, Marvin Kalb or Bernard Kalb, one of them, saying, but now that the military has taken over in Russia, all bets are off. That was the first thing that I heard when I woke up that morning. Unbelievable. All right, so anyway, that night, after my evening traffic shift, there was a limousine the station had hired, and we drove from Baltimore up to Bel Air, Maryland, and picked up these two elderly ladies. Oh, I don't know if they were elderly. I think that they were probably in their early 60s, and I got to be honest with you, from my perspective right now, I don't want anybody calling early 60s elderly. You better not. I will beat you to... So I picked them up, and we went to the concert, and the deal was that the sponsors and certain people were going to be allowed to go backstage after the concert and meet the Moody Blues. And the enormity of this did not really hit me until about the last two songs. And I forget what the last two songs were, but the Moody Blues traditionally on tour open with Lovely to See You Again, My Friend, which is truly a fan. I mean, you know, if you love the Moody Blues, you love them. And I loved them. And the Moody Blues, on their album called To Our Children's Children's Children, which I believe was the second album after On the Threshold of a Dream, I'm not positive. I used to have this stuff. You know, there was a time when I knew the length of every single song on every was ridiculous, sick, really, just absurd. So anyway, on To Our Children's Children's Children, there's a song called Candle of Life. And I just think that song is incredible. It's awesome. It was probably still my favorite Moody Blues song. I think it's one of the best pop songs of the 1970s, no question. And it was written by the bassist of the Moody Blues, a guy named John Lodge. And here we are backstage, and there is Justin Hayward, and he is speaking to one of the ladies that had won our station concert, and he was speaking with her. They had met before. She was such a fan. It was really, and I was, you know, I was impressed. I thought it was amazing. And a moment later, here comes John Lodge. I'll fill you in on what happened next in a moment. But for this moment, I'm going to presume, I don't think I'm really sticking my neck out all that far, that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, that you are a conservative. That means you love the United States as much as we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case those leftists in D.C. drop the ball and leave our country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an upcoming emergency. I mean, please, don't tell me you haven't thought about this. Of course you have. Come on, you're a common sense person. Anyway, since that is the case, you need a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. We've got your pipeline to all that stuff right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That is going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. ConservativeNationMedia.com. Click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. You will be happy that you did. ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. A quick break, more about the Moody Blues, more about the Pilgrims, a news revelation, all that stuff, and your calls coming up. Don't go away.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Those were the Carpenters, of course. It's not a Monday, but it was a rainy day here on the East Coast. The rest of the country looked like it was wide open, but on the East Coast in the Mid-Atlantic, which is where I live, terrible, nasty day. Yes, that's right, Karen. Nothing ever seems to fit because you're 5'9 and you weigh 81 pounds. Okay, I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyway, I digress. All right, so it's August 9th, 1991. I'm backstage at the Merriweather. My favorite song of the last 20 years or so, last 18 years, I guess, yeah, 17, 18 years, had been Candle of Life by the Moody Blues, written by John Lodge, and I come face-to-face with John Lodge. John Lodge is a profoundly talented guy. He is also a very, very dedicated Christian. I don't know if that's going to be legal in England much longer. But anyway, John has kind of, how shall I say this, almost a frightening visage. He has kind of a scary look about him. Those two ladies knew him, spoken with him quite a few times. They were in some kind of an upper echelon of some international Moody Blues fan club, and they kind of knew the guy. And they said, you know, yeah, he does look very kind of scary, but he's the nicest guy you ever met. When I came face to face with him, I was so starstruck, I didn't even know what to say. I'm not really like that anymore, but back in 1991, I was, I guess, 22 years ago. Anyway, I digress. We were talking about the Mayflower and the Pilgrims and how we got to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving actually is a Civil War holiday. We're going to be checking in on Civil War history on this day in the Civil War. That is coming up a little more than half an hour from now, about 40 minutes from now, I guess. And as we do, you know, at quarter after the second hour on every edition of Radio Free America here on conservativenationmedia.com. So I think, you know, by now everyone should be aware that when the Pilgrims got here, their first year was very, very hard scrabble. They were having a real tough time. They knew how to grow some things. They had definitely had fishing skills. They were not the first English-speaking people from the New World to come to the New World from Europe, by the way. There were French and there were other English that were up in the area that we now refer to as Maine. Maine takes its name from a French province of the same name, by the way. I wonder where Shawshank got its name. I don't know. I digress. And the pilgrims were having a tough time. And there were Indians that could speak some English because they had had some association with the Europeans who were in the general New England, northern New England, New Hampshire, Maine area before the pilgrims got here in 1620. When the pilgrims came here, they had decided that they were all going to work together for the betterment of their fellow man. They were going Karl Marx one better 300 years before Karl Marx, or anyway, 200 years before Karl Marx was born, idiot. And they were starving. They were starving due to a phenomenon in economics that an economist will describe as the tragedy of the commons. And I heard this described in detail one day in college. I can guarantee you that that term, the tragedy of the commons and the economic application thereof, would not be heard in any, almost any American college nowadays because it doesn't fit the script. It's not socialistic enough. It's a reality. It is something that, you know, socialism in general is one of those things that human emotion would like to have. It's a, gee, wouldn't it be nice thing, but human nature will make it and does make it impossible. A dichotomy, I suppose. But in any event, here's what it comes down. All right, here's what it comes down to. The tragedy of the commons. When everybody owns an asset or a resource jointly, psychologically, nobody owns it. And by that I mean this. In New England and in other places all over the North American continent back then, 300 years ago, 200 years ago, towns would very often be laid out. The king would give somebody a grant or what was called back then a patent. And they would bring in surveyors, people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They were land surveyors. Abraham Lincoln had worked as a land surveyor at one point. And they would lay out a commons in the town. And the commons was where people could come and gather, where they could graze their sheep there, or everybody owned it, but nobody owned it, and because everybody owns it, the commons always falls into disrepair. There are modern examples of this. There are plenty of modern examples of it. Before I moved to Delaware, I lived in Ocean City, Maryland for a very long time. I know everybody. I'm kind of like Leo. I know everybody, and everybody knows me. All right. I've got some friends that live on the water, and they live in a very, very nice development off of a branch called Herring Creek. And if you live on the water, you have a pricey home. Let's put it this way. My best friend in Ocean City and my old real estate boss, one and the same, used to have a sign on his office wall, and the sign said, a direct waterfront view is not a matter of life and death. It is significantly more important than that. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, they live in this development. There's only about 7 or 8 houses there. They're all on the water, but the entire thing is private, including the road that leads back to it. Everybody owns that road, and therefore nobody owns that road. That road has more potholes. It's not maintained by Worcester County. It's a private road. There are signs, and that road is a mess. And because everybody owns it, nobody owns it. And that's what happened to the Pilgrims. They tried to live as communists, and communism cannot feed itself. In capitalism, there's never enough money, but in communism, there is never enough food. Anyway, we are about 16 minutes now before the top of the hour. You know, we like to do things in a big way around here at Conservative Nation Media. We start off the work week every Monday in a really big way. And the program is called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Now, you might be thinking, you know, well, heck, I live in Alaska, or I'm listening from San Francisco or something, because people listen to us from all there. And you might think, what does Tennessee have to do? Look, I've got news for you. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that are right now affecting Tennessee are spreading out all over the U.S. My buddy David Vance, it's his show. He brings his veterans' insight. He was in the Army for most of his career. And the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. You have got to listen to it. Dave is a monster. He sounds so great, does such a wonderful job. The program is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, the place where America always wins. The Pilgrims were starving. They were literally starving. They were in very serious trouble. The Indians had come and had said, okay, look, you, all right, we'll give you some seed. There are places on the north side of the swamp over there. There are places to the west of this stream where at certain times of the year the hunting for deer and things like that is going to be more than enough for everybody. And the Pilgrims, even with all that, they couldn't make it. You know why? Because everybody was expecting everybody else to do the work. Not me. Not me. This is communal. I really don't have to work that hard. I can feel people rolling their eyeballs and pointing their fingers right at this moment. I understand. After the first winter, when many of them almost starved, somebody, I don't know if it was Bradford or who it was, but somebody said, look, why don't we just assign these plots of land to individual families and you grow your own food. If you have anything left over and you want to sell it, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It's your land. You grow your own food and be done with it. And after that happened, they all flourished. 13 minutes before the top of the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We've got your calls coming up and more on the history of Thanksgiving here on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on conservativenationmedia.com. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is peace around?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
All righty, thank you very much, Kevin Wade. Kevin was in Sacramento the other day, by the way. That's kind of a hike from Newark, Delaware, and or Newcastle. Yeah, Newcastle. Yeah, yeah. Newark, you know, I've lived in this state for close to 3 years now. I still don't know the difference between Newark and Newcastle and New this and New that. And I got to be honest with you, frankly, you know, why would I go north of the C&D Canal? What is up there? Who cares? The whole thing is nothing but a big, giant suburb of Philadelphia. But I digress. Kevin and Gail went out to Sacramento for the 80th birthday party of a guy whose last name, I believe, is Mueller. I don't know the guy, but he had worked for Ronald Reagan when Reagan was governor of California and continued to work for him when he was the president of the United States. At the birthday party were Ed Meese and, Kevin said, a couple of other guys from the Reagan administration, not at the level of Mike Deaver or James Baker or Don Regan or anything like that. I think that Michael Deaver died, and I think Don Regan died as well. I know for a fact that Alexander Haig died, but anyway, that's where Kevin was. Kevin still has not told me specifically whether he is going to run for the U.S. Senate again next year. He has told me to tell people that if anybody asks me, and I'm Kevin's spokesman, I am his spokesman, in addition to being the spokesman for the Sussex County, Delaware Republican Committee. But if anybody asks, I just say that, and this is entirely truthful, the whole thing is absolutely factual, Kevin has not decided yet whether he will run, but if he were to run, I would not be one bit surprised. Kevin is a very good, common sense conservative, successful businessman. He's really about the greatest guy in the whole world. You know, he's been on the show with me several times. You're going to be hearing a lot more from Kevin, and I don't mean a postcard. 718-305-7176. Some of the pilgrims, I think, returned to England. Others stayed. Now it is very fashionable to look upon the pilgrims who were of a very, very admittedly severe religious sect of Christianity called Puritanism. And I think from Puritanism came the Shakers, and I think maybe even the Quakers. I'm not sure. I really ought to know better than that, because I went to a Quaker school in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is called the Quaker City. Some people call it the City of Brotherly Love. Whee! Not me. I call it the City of the Cheesesteak Man. I digress. But a lot of at least the American morals that held sway until about 15 or 20 years ago were an outgrowth of a lot of puritanical, what we now call puritanical ideas. The people that burned people at the stake and hanged them, actually, well, I think there was, during the Salem witch trials, which I think started in 1682 and were over by 1685, I think that's right, I don't know. You know, if there's anybody out there that can look it up on a computer maybe, you can go ahead and give me a call at 718-305-7176. I think I'm right on those years, but I'm not positive. But I do remember that my school in Philadelphia was in existence at the time of the Salem witch trials. I believe that everybody that was executed, and obviously falsely executed for being a witch during the Salem witch trials, was hanged, except one guy whose name I believe was Roger Corey, and they executed that guy by putting rocks on top of him until the poor guy was crushed. And this was all because there were these three young girls who had figured out a way to fool people into getting rid of individuals that they did not like. And finally, one of them accused the governor's wife of being a witch, and that's when the governor, I believe, basically sent people into Salem and said, okay, this has gone on far enough. Later on, when the girls were grown up, they admitted that they had made the whole thing up. And my question at that point was, well, why were those girls not executed at that point? Why were they not put on trial for bearing false witness against thy neighbor, which is one of the Ten Commandments? Which commandment number is that? My girlfriend, the Bible-thumping Baptist, she does not know. Unbelievable. All right. Anyway, I think it's number 6, but I'm not sure. I'm Catholic. I don't read the Bible. Anyway, I digress. So the ultimate reason that those girls were not punished for sending innocent people to their deaths is that the community at the time was a Christian community, and they viewed that sort of conduct, executing people for lying, as being unchristian, and they believed in forgiveness. Unlike the Mohammedans, they don't believe in forgiving anything, do they? 718-305-7176 is the number here. Just under 3 minutes until the top of the hour. Here's the bad news that I start off earlier saying I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance. The good news is that, it's Thanksgiving. The bad news is there is no talk radio news service news tonight. And there certainly won't be any tomorrow. We're not on the air tomorrow. Matthew Opalisky, my buddy, who is doing the Thursday show, the Liberty and Constitution Community, Matthew really, really wanted to do a show tomorrow night. I said to him, Matthew, I want to hug you for being so dedicated to what we're doing here, but the fact of the matter is, I'm just not going to let anybody work on this network on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day. That's pretty much what it comes down to, all right? Those are days and holidays and celebrations and times you should be spending them with your family. If you don't have a family, I don't know what to tell you, because it is normal for, you know, I mean, please. When I was younger, I mean, I've always had a family, but when I was young, I was a bachelor, I was like, oh, man. You know, and I don't know. I wish that I had died. Sometimes I wish I had met Linda a very long time ago. You know, hon, don't you think that would have been cool? You know, anyway. So we will not be on the air tomorrow night. We will be on the air the following Thursday and every Thursday thereafter. I will not be on the air on Christmas Day, and I will not be on the air on New Year's Day. Sam Thurman, Cliff Stewart, Olivia, and Ethel, on Christmas Eve, they will not be bringing you a Just Cause Coast to Coast, and they will not be bringing you a Just Cause Coast to Coast on New Year's Eve. Nor will Jennifer Meadows be bringing you Grit and Grace Radio on Christmas Eve, nor on New Year's Eve. These are, and I'm not going to be on the air New Year's Day. We're taking this time off. I'm sorry. That's just the way things go. Everybody needs a break. Spend it with your family. You know, it's that simple. Anyway, more after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. 718-305-7176 is the number. There are folks motoring around in the chat room, and you are welcome to call. We might be hearing from Denmark at some point soon. I don't know. We might be hearing from Denmark. That piece of intro music, by the way, if you don't know, is Classical Gas by Mason Williams. Now, I met a guy last Saturday. Actually, I've known the guy for a while. And I heard him playing a guitar like a ring and a bell. And he had a red box. I mean, the guy sounded like a band. It was unbelievable. And I asked him, I said, Ian, can you play Classical Gas? And he said, what's that? And I thought, oh, man, that is the trouble with these kids today, you know? And I said, well, what are your favorite bands? And he said, well, I've always really liked Jimi Hendrix. And at that moment, I'm thinking to myself, he was dead for, what, 20 years before you were born? What, you know? And he named two other bands, one of them called Tool. Never even heard of them. Oh, what is going on here? I just, you know, and this guy's half-brother is autistic. We and Vic and Corinne and Linda and I were going to go up to the Cure Autism Now rally, but we missed it. Anyway, I'm going to put together a CD or send him some links to YouTube or something so that Ian can find out what Classical Gas is. And that was it at the top of this segment. 718-305-7176. I hope that, like me, you are going to have a good appetite tomorrow, the 28th, Thanksgiving Day. When you sit down to a table, which, you know, the table should be groaning under the weight of turkey, various salads, mashed potatoes, candied yams, sweet potatoes, ideally with marshmallows on top. You should have pretty much everything at Thanksgiving. I spoke with Jennifer Meadows earlier today, the host of Grit and Grace on Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, on Conservative Nation Media, and she said, you know, we have always leaned towards ham for Thanksgiving, and I thought to myself, beautiful, a Mohammedan-proof Thanksgiving, but that, you know, hey, that's fine, no problem. And I'll tell you what, a turkey with plenty of stuffing in it, excellent gravy, mashed potatoes, candied yams, some, you know, excellent green casserole, like green bean casserole or something, or broccoli with hollandaise sauce, apple pie or pumpkin pie. A lot of people love pumpkin pie. I've never cared for it, but hey, you know, I mean, that's what Thanksgiving ought to be. And Abraham Lincoln instituted the holiday in 1864 during the Civil War. About 11 or 12 minutes from now, we will be bringing you up to date on what was going on November 28th, which was a Friday in 1863, 150 years ago today. And from what I understand, it was widely known that the Yankees had promulgated this national holiday. The Rebs knew that the Yankees were having a newly proclaimed national holiday, and the Rebs held their fire, and they let the Yankees eat undisturbed. And, you know, strange things happen in civil wars. I guess when the stakes are who's going to be in charge and who's going to be ruling and who's going to make the laws, and that sort of thing, the stakes are very, very high when that sort of thing happens. And we had one here, obviously. I'm surprised at how many people today really do not know anything about the Civil War. I'm surprised at how many people don't know anything about our country's history. Maybe I shouldn't be all that surprised because, quote, education, unquote, in this country for the last 50 to 75 years has been under the control not of the school boards, but of the left-wing unions that have teachers as members. And as soon as the teachers began unionizing, that was the end, because now the entire education and school tax and school funding system in this country is about the teachers' union. It is not about the children. Albert Shanker was the head of the American Federation of Teachers, and at some point in the 1980s, I think it was, he was famously quoted in the New York Times as saying, "I will care about school children when school children pay dues to my union." Not a peep. No problem. Okay. The union doesn't care about the school children. Can we presume that the teachers really don't care about the school children? I think that that's a fair presumption to make, because being members of the union is obviously more important to them than anything else is. 718-305-7176 is the number here. I am so delighted that we have Thanksgiving. I understand that the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was in 1923. My dad was 1 and a half. My mom was 7 months into the future. So, you know, do the math or something. I don't know. But Macy's has been a Thanksgiving tradition in this country, although the nature of the parade has become more and more strange over the last 10 to 15 years. It seems to me there are very, very odd people that are appearing in the parade now. I don't know. You know, as long as they still have the balloons of Underdog, Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Bullwinkle the Moose, you know, Sherman and Peabody, and I mean, I think they probably have Sponge Pants and Square, whatever it is now. I'm sure that they have, yeah, that's okay, hon. We're on the air, but go ahead and keep making noise. That's all right. You know, I mean, don't treat this like it's an actual radio studio or anything. No, go ahead. Yeah. Don't worry about me. Just save yourself. Anyway, of course we will watch the parade. Did you march in the parade when you were in the band? All right. Linda, my girlfriend, who is the best human being I've ever met in my life, when she was in college at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, majoring in chemical engineering, which, as I think everyone understands, is the hardest academic discipline in college anywhere. Chem E is the toughest thing that there is. It's harder than everything. Chem E is harder than med school. You know, it's tough. It's very, very hard. Anyway, Linda was in this organization that, if you are a fan of college sports, or if you have just paid attention to anything at all in your life in this country, you have heard of the UMass Minutemen Marching Band. They are referred to as the power and class of New England, and they are the best college marching band east of the Rocky Mountains. And they have been known as that for a long time, and I am certain that it is very, very hard to pass the audition to get into the band, and it's probably just as hard, if not harder, to stay in it. Linda told me they had to run 5 miles at a time in step. Isn't that right, hon? Oh, that's drum and bugle corps. Oh, I got to. Oh, well, that's different. In any event, Linda has marched in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. She also marched in the first inauguration of President Ronald Reagan, and those are very, very honorable things, without any question, to have done. We are still, and I'm glad for this, we're still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. You want to listen in to Matthew every Thursday night, except tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't Thursday. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. That's different. All right? Anyway, you want to listen to him every regular Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community, so you can learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Now then, we have a visitor calling, and I believe it is Christian from Denmark. Is that you, Christian? I'm attempting to bring him on the air now, but the circular disc is just continuing to spin. Okay, this, in fact, is a Blog Talk Radio problem. It's exactly what it is. I just don't get it. I don't get it. All right, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a break, and when I come back, after I bring you up to speed on this day in the Civil War, we're going to have Christian from Denmark on the line, so you stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
On conservativenationmedia.com. Let's see for a moment if we can actually get Christian on the line here. Let's see if we can get Christian, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you just fine. Can you hear me?
All right, fantastic. Christian, if I can get you to stand by a moment, we're going to talk a little bit about the Civil War. All right, things actually seem to be working right now. pretty amazing. You know, I don't know, maybe the technology today is actually no better than it was in 1863. I just don't know. November 27th was a Friday in 1863. This is from The Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. South of the Rapidan River, General Robert E. Lee moved quickly eastward to block General George Gordon Meade's new offensive. They were skirmishing at Payne's Farm, Robertson's Cavern, or Locust Grove, action near the New Hope Church and near Wilderness Church. Meade headed toward the small valley of Mine Run, and Lee strongly posted the Army of Northern Virginia. Meade blamed Major General William Henry French for delaying attack this day and later termed it a major factor in the failure of the campaign. French's corps took the wrong road and ran into Jubal Early. Fighting also occurred at Catlett Station, Virginia. President Jefferson Davis, greatly perturbed over some serious problems in Tennessee, advised General Braxton Bragg to concentrate rapidly, an almost impossible thing to do under the circumstances. They, you know, most people from other countries that come to America or try to learn about it, they hear about the Civil War and they imagine guerrilla action. That's not the way our Civil War was. Christian, what, if anything, were you taught in Denmark about the history of the American Civil War?
Actually, it wasn't really something that we spent that much time on. They were far too busy, you know. We have very leftist teachers, you know, the old hippie types. So they were very much busy teaching us, you know, all the wrongs the Americans did during the Vietnam War, for instance.
So I got
a lot of the education, you know, when I got home, you know, and read books and so
there
TV
you
shows.
Go. Yeah, like, you kind of have to find out the facts on your own. Now, one of the last pictures of you on Facebook that I saw, buddy, other than the hamburgers that you – how often do you have American-style hamburgers for dinner? You like that a couple of times a week, I guess, huh?
I think I have it like three times a month.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think,
you had an election there. Was it a national election in Denmark or what?
It was just a local election, you know, for the city council and stuff like that. So it was pretty. It was actually pretty boring, actually.
And
but, you know,
what
you need to get your local people.
The result was conservative or liberal?
They were split in the middle, I think. They were kind of like split in the middle. Our cities are very much, you know, some are. You know, social democratic, and some others are conservatives, but there really isn't that big a difference between them. All the Danes people really just want their welfare states, and so there really isn't that big of a difference whether it's one or the other.
Well, that really doesn't work
though. Yeah, but we had to have one interesting thing that I actually think that you should hear about. You're Americans because you don't have that many Muslims.
About 0.1%.
Yeah, but we're more over here, and we had this young guy, a young Muslim guy, a poet actually. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. He wrote a book with all his poetry in it, and the poetry is about his upbringing in Denmark, where he really spilled the beans on the Muslims, where he explains how they cheat and they lie and steal from the government, really. And so it's a big thing over here because they have called out their bluff so that the Danish people can see. Yes, they are ripping you off, basically. And then he wanted, you know, to come and have a reading of his poetry and stuff like that in a Muslim in an area where there lives a lot of Muslims, and they have to have like 100 cops out there to protect him. It's totally crazy. So you should really watch out for getting Muslims over there.
Well, have you heard about the African country of Angola that several days ago put out a news came from Angola that they are beginning to tear down mosques, and they are saying that no more mosques can be built there, and they are not recognizing the Muslims as a religion. They're not going to let any more of them in. And I think that this is a very, very good thing.
It really is. Perhaps it can give some hope in into that country in Africa and perhaps get it to work better. Because really, Islam has never brought anything but pain and misery. And if they hadn't gotten all that oil money back in the day, then there wouldn't be any well-functioning Muslim countries anywhere, because that's the only really, asset of money that they have. Sometimes,
well,
yeah.
There can be no peaceful coexistence with the Mohammedans.
It's a religion of war and hate.
Any other, their entire thing is that they think that they have a right and a duty to impose their religion on everybody else. And you cannot peacefully coexist with somebody if that is, if that's the way they're doing things. How can you peacefully coexist with somebody that way? And if their thinking is that they have an absolute right to tell you what you may and may not do in terms of religion or in terms of anything else. The communists were the same way.
Yeah, and just the other day at a soccer tournament, an innocent Danish white boy paid the price because a Muslim they were standing in line for food, and then a Muslim just stabbed him. And we've never seen anything like that in Denmark before all these Muslims came in the last few decades. So it's really awful with us. Well, I have a question for you. That I've been thinking about. What are your thoughts on Chris Christie for president? Do you think that the GOP should forgive him for kind of being like a last-minute cheerleader of Obama in the last election? Do you think that they should?
No, I view Christie as a great big rhino. In other words, a Republican in name only.
Yeah.
He is fiscally conservative, but he is not a social conservative. And to me, a real Republican is both. Small government, low taxes, general adherence socially to the traditional values that have made this country what it is. And Christie does not believe in the Second Amendment. He does believe there's a difference between a social safety net and a welfare state.
Yes, there is.
There's a big difference, and there's a difference between a safety net and a hammock. And the worst job that Washington does, impacting and affecting the economy, the more people will longer be on welfare programs. Now, at times in my life, I have received government benefits, and I can tell you it's not wholly enjoyable, but, the other thing is they should be taken as temporary, but government wants them to be permanent.
Yeah,
and wants there to be a large underclass that is dependent upon those programs and will therefore vote for Democrat candidates. That's basically the deal. And it's buying votes. Buying votes. That's what it is.
They're basically using the same tactic as the drug dealing pushers on the streets. They get the customers hooked, and then they have loyal customers for life. That's basically the same.
There was a famous interview that was published in, an American magazine back in the 1980s, and it was a drug dealer, and he said, "We do not sell the product to the consumer, we sell the consumer to the product." And that's basically what is going on.
Denmark is
parliamentary, right? Huh? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, and I was just, to finish it off with Chris Christie, not finishing him off, of course. We are a peaceful group, us Tea Party people. But I was just thinking that an important thing with him is he is all pro immigration reform, and I think that's just awful. You know, I'm thinking a lot of in the lines of Ann Coulter. She thinks that it should actually be a single issue for this the upcoming elections, because if you have this great immigration reform, then you just get all these future Democrat voters in, and then you're absolutely certain that unless you totally change your policies, then you will lose all the elections in the future.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the fact of the matter is this will destroy Western civilization. I am so afraid that 100 years from now, all of the great cathedrals, the great Gothic cathedrals of France and Denmark and Germany will no longer be there. And, the French will have nobody to blame but themselves, because the French are kind of spineless. And they keep letting the Mohammedans in. And from what I understand, about 10% of France is now Mohammedan. And when it gets to 20 to 30% Mohammedan, that's when there are going to be very serious problems there. And the Mohammedans are going to begin making demands, and the French government is going to cave to them. And within 10 to 15 years after that, they will begin dictating policy in France, and it will be illegal to be Christian. And that's pretty much what they want to do. And there are people in Western civilization who are so gutless and so spineless and so utterly and completely feckless and worthless and shiftless that they're going to go along with it. You know, suicide is what it is.
And I must say that I tend to agree with you, because actually all over Europe, there are large parts of all the big cities which are almost forbidden areas for the cops to enter, because the Muslim has taken control in the streets, and the modern day cops are not really trained, for that kind of warfare. Actually, in a lot of cases, it would be more relevant to send the army. But hey, no, we're not sending the armies to that. We're sending the armies to Afghanistan and Iraq and all these places. Basically, I think that we have forgotten to face the fact, and the fact is that the war is not away in Iraq or in Afghanistan. No, they are right at home, and so are they in America. We need soldiers at home to protect our borders, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. Christian, thank you for calling in. Tomorrow is a big holiday here in America. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I know you don't have that in Denmark, but...
Yeah, but I would still like to say that I wish all of your good patriotic listeners a very happy Thanksgiving from Denmark.
Thank you so much, my buddy, and I look forward to speaking to you again next Wednesday.
See you.
Thank you, Christian. Have a great night, my friend. All righty. It is, we've got about 27 and a half minutes now before the end of this edition of Radio Free Delmarva on conservativenationmedia.com. And I think that Mohammedanization, I don't say Islam, I don't say Muslim, I say Mohammedan and Mohammedanism. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. It's one of the worst nightmares that can happen to any society. It's probably even a little bit worse than the nightmare of identity theft. And if that happens to you, it could take months or even longer to recover from it if you can recover at all. Here is what I suggest. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal info using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365, there's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad that you did. We're going to take a quick break. More of your calls coming up. Don't go away.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. 718-305-7176 is the number. Thanks very much for being along this evening, and thanks very much for listening on a podcast. If that is your want, hey, it's fine with me. I'm very happy when people listen either way. We've been talking a little bit about Thanksgiving, just a wonderful, absolutely wonderful holiday. Maybe tomorrow I can forget some of the absurd things that the president and his comrades, the president and his friends have been doing in Washington, D.C. How about that Iran deal, huh? Unbelievable. We're going to give them some nuclear technology. We're going to give them billions of dollars, which we don't have. And in exchange for that, excuse me, they're going to give us a promise that they're not going to build nuclear weapons. Oh, yeah, that's credible. Absolutely. You bet. That's completely credible. I'm with you on that, Mahmoud. And the thing about that that I think is absurd is apparently the Foggy Bottom boys never even brought up the American pastor, the Christian pastor in Iran, who is in prison now under sentence of death for attempting, I think, to talk about Christianity. That is a capital offense in Mohammedan countries. It's not a capital offense to proselytize your religion in this country. It is not an offense of any type at all. And my question for the liberals is simply, is that fair? Is it fair that they can come here and try to knock the foundation out under our society and under our civilization, but if we try to do that in their countries, it's a death sentence? Is that fair? Come on, all you liberals, all you people who are so open-minded you don't even know how to be on your own side in a fight. I mean, seriously, please. You know, I suppose that if I had been Secretary of State, which isn't going to happen, I don't know, maybe if Kevin Wade runs for Senate and then 2 years later he becomes president, maybe if Kevin Wade becomes the Republican presidential president-elect in 2016, maybe he'll make me the Secretary of State the following year. I don't know. I can dream, can't I? In any event, I think that the only way to handle the Iranians would have been to go in there and say, we are not even going to discuss anything with you until you release the American citizen that you are holding under sentence of death for attempting to convert people to Christianity. I don't even know if he was successful in it. You're not allowed to be a Christian in Iran. You know, the People's Federated Democratic Socialist Islamic Republic of Iran, you're not even allowed to be a Christian there, as far as I know. As far as I know, there are no churches and no synagogues in the entire country of Saudi Arabia. And I guess the question is that fair? The Saudis wield tremendous influence in this country. We have almost none with them. We could have a lot of influence if we wanted to. We wouldn't have to fire a shot. All we would have to do is open up all the oil leases on federal land all over the country and let the oil hit the market at 30 bucks a barrel, maybe 40 bucks a barrel. OPEC would combat that by reducing their output. And they would attempt to do what they have always said. I mean, you know, the oil is not, it's not really a free market. It's not really supply and demand. Demand remains constant or it goes up a little bit all the time. Supply, however, is manipulated by OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. I'd like to see us and England and other nations like Japan, maybe even China, get together and form something called OPIC, the Organization of Petroleum Importing Countries. That would be fair. I really do. I think that that would be just fair. That is something that we really need to look into. I think that that would be a very, very good idea. Hey, I've got a good idea for you. This is the first time that you're going to be hearing about this on the air here at conservativenationmedia.com. We're very, very happy and we're very proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve music and kids extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website. This is not a BTR product. You can only get it on conservativenationmedia.com. And don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or to santaclaus@conservativenationmedia.com. And Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. So from all of us at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas. And of course, as always, thank you very much for listening. We've got about 16 minutes until the end of this edition of ConservativeNationMedia.com's Radio Free America with me, yours truly, Duke Brooks. The number is 718-305-7176. You know, last Wednesday, we tried to get Victoria Jackson on the air, but and I blamed BTR. Frankly, I blame them for everything. You know, Obamacare, the website screw-up, that's BTR's fault. I'm serious. Just as Obama blames George Bush for everything, up to and including the Teapot Dome scandal, I blame BTR for, well, anyway. We tried to get Victoria on the air last Wednesday. Tonight, Victoria Jackson, the former star of Saturday Night Live, is having her Thanksgiving dinner with her family because I think her daughter is going to be with their in-laws tomorrow, so they're having two Thanksgivings over a two-day period or something. Anyway, Victoria is supposed to join us next Wednesday night, and we hope that the cell phone network issue, which I believe is what was the actual problem now anyway, we hope that that will be resolved and that she will be able to join us from Tennessee, which is she now lives in Nashville. Haven't been to Nashville. I will go to Nashville at some point soon. Actually, when our company has its first annual meeting, I think it's going to be in Nashville for a variety of reasons. Three of our people, well, four if you include Victoria, live in Tennessee. Bing Fisher lives in a place called McMinnville, Tennessee, I think. Dave Vance is outside Nashville. Kathy Henners is in Nashville. I've never been there. I can't wait to go. Can't wait to go. Anyway, we're going to take a real quick break and more of your calls coming up when we get back. So stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi.
This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Greg Duran. Welcome back. A little bit of the Electric Light Orchestra there, Summer and Lightning from Concerto for a Rainy Day. From the album Out of the Blue, that was 1977, I think. In fact, I'm sure of it. It's not summer. I'm waiting for summer, man. You know, the way I look at it, it's only about three more weeks until the days begin getting longer again. Yeah, I'm psyched. I can't wait. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. In contact with my best friend last night, talking to Bill McGarry on the phone. Bill and I have been best friends since 1967. That is, it will be 46 years in the spring, in January or February, I think. 46 years, something like it. We've been best friends. Bill listens to Alex Jones a lot, and I've listened to Alex once or twice. I think Alex is basically a demagogue and a rabble-rouser. Some of the things that he says I do agree with. Others I do not agree with. He believes that the CIA was who ordered the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The director of Central Intelligence of the CIA during the Kennedy administration was one of John F. Kennedy's best friends, a guy named John McCone. The CIA wanting to take him is ridiculous. It's absurd. ConservativeNationMedia.com conducted our own investigation of the Kennedy assassination. On the last day of August last year, this year rather, you know, right day before Labor Day, and Michael B. Smith and I went to Dealey Plaza and we conducted our own investigation. And we have come to the inescapable conclusion that no one was firing any rifles, pistols, or other kinds of firearms or weapons on Dealey Plaza that way other than the communist Lee Harvey Oswald. The left loves conspiracy theories vis-a-vis JFK because, after all, Oswald was their guy. He was a Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist, communist, socialist. And that's what he was. And the left just wants to deflect blame away from them. That's why Mark Lane is behind these. Mark Lane said the CIA made Lee Harvey Oswald's fake ID and all this kind of stuff. He can't prove any of that. He can't prove it, but his fellow travelers in the media are more than happy to, you know, go along with it because, heck, I mean, you know, as far as they're concerned, anybody that hates the U.S. government is okay with them. 718-305-7176. Somebody I was talking to the other day said, you know, I love listening to your internet radio show, and I was very pleased to hear that. And he said to me, why don't you talk about flying more? You know, in the description of your show, you always talk about, quote, a little hangar flying. I'm all in favor of that. I mean, I haven't flown an aircraft in probably 2 years now, maybe even a little bit longer. I don't know. But I absolutely – flying was my life. I never really wanted to do anything but fly from the time that I was four. And that, I think, primarily is because of my dad's influence. In World War II, my dad was in the Marines, and he was a commissioned officer, and he flew in VMF 111 an airplane called the Chancevaught F-4U Corsair. And the F-4U Corsair was, to 1945, what the F-35 Super Double Raptor, or whatever they call that thing, the F-35 Joint Strike Eagle Monster Deflectible Jet Octophonic, I don't even, these modern airplanes, you know, yeah, they can do great things, but I got to be honest with you, that to me, they are just boring. You know, a jet is boring. There's really nothing all that interesting. I was never really interested in airliners. I've never been interested in corporate jets. I am interested in World War II airplanes. World War II airplanes were cool. World War I airplanes were kind of cool. All other airplanes are just, you know, I mean, it's like, so what? You know, big deal. But that F-4U Corsair, that is the most beautiful airplane in the world. And, you know, they're really, if you're not familiar with it, just Google F-4U Corsair. Many years ago, I was dating a girl whose name was Kristen. And Kristen was an actress on the crime drama called Law and Order on the NBC television network. She appeared on the show. She had other jobs on the show as well, but she had come down to Ocean City. We spent a weekend or 4 days together. I forget what it was, but I was showing her some of my dad's World War II stuff, and she said, "What was the airplane called?" And I said, "It was called the F-4U. She looked at me and rolled her eyes and said, "Yeah, right." And, you know, I said to her, "Kristen, that's what the airplane was called, the F-4U Corsair." She thought that I was trying to make some kind of an underhanded, dirty word out of the name, the designation of the airplane. The Navy does it, and I explained all this to her. The U.S. Navy in World War II had a unique way of identifying airplanes. The Army used a completely different system. The Navy switched over to kind of the Air Force system at some point right around, or maybe right after the Korean War, but in World War II, U.S. Navy airplanes were designated. The first character was always a letter, and that was the type of airplane it was. If it was an F, such as the F-4F, the F-6F, the F-4U, it was a fighter. If it was a bomber, it was either a PB, an SB, or a TB. It was either a patrol bomber, a scout bomber, or a torpedo bomber. A patrol bomber, like the PBY, was really large, or an airplane they called the PBJ. We'll get to that last character in a moment. If it was a scout bomber, such as the SBD or the SB2C, it was really a dive bomber. And if it was a TB, like the TBF or the TBM, which were the exact same airplane made by different manufacturers, then it was a torpedo bomber. Dive bombing and torpedo bombing, based on the technology of the day, were both completely valid and effective anti-naval ship forms of attack. The SBD, or Scout Bomber Douglas, D for Douglas, was the most effective aerial weapon that the Allies had in World War II. The SBD Dauntless sent more enemy combat tonnage to the bottom than any other Allied weapon of World War II. All four of the Japanese carriers that were sunk at the Battle of Midway were sunk by junior officers in the U.S. Navy flying SBD Dauntless dive bombers. The Dauntless was the name. The SB was the type. The D was the manufacturer. The F4U was a fighter, and it was the fourth fighter, the fourth design, sold to the Navy by the manufacturer U, which was Chance Vought, which at the time was part of a company called United Aircraft. It's now United Technologies. Anyway, we'll talk about this and more next week. I hope, sincerely, that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Have a great Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey. See you soon, everybody.